Welcome to the media ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The teacher for this family Bible hour is Pastor Paul Ludtke.
Jody to come forward and have an opportunity to be able to just ask them some questions and allow them to go even into a little bit more detail about their ministry. Come on, go ahead and come on up here. I'm going to give this to you and turn it on. So before I get into any further questions, I need to clear something up that has become a little bit of a, I wouldn't call it a controversy, but just a little bit of back and forth over the last few days. So if you paid close attention to our emails or my announcements, I referred to Jody as Jolene. Okay, this is the same person here that is with us this morning. And so I got Jolene from reading the emails and the correspondence that I've had with them. And somebody so kindly came up and said, Paul, it's not Jolene, it's Jody. And so horrified, I went back to just verify and see, you know, did I invent Jolene? Where did that come from? And verified that indeed on the emails and correspondence it was Jolene. So I had to ask this morning, which is it? And got the answer, so I want you to have the answer as well. So Jolene is your given name. Jody is more of a nickname growing up. And in Germany, they don't really pronounce the J's with a hard J. It's more like a Y sound. So if your name was Jody and you go to Germany, if you continue to emphasize that, what are you going to be called? Jody. And for those of us that grew up in the Star Wars generation, that might not be what you want to be referred to for the rest of the time that the Lord had you in Germany. So in Germany, you're Jolene. Here, you're Jody. Amongst friends and family, right? Okay, so that explains it, right? We were all right on this, but so grateful to have you with us. Now, my first question was more going to be related to kind of give us an update for those that don't know you, but the video did a really good job of that, so I don't want to go back over previous territory. So let's start here. What did the Lord use in each of your life to spark the desire for missions? What did the Lord use in your life to spark the desire for missions? Joel, you start.
We have two different perspectives on that because we grew up in different areas. But my dad was a pastor in Minnesota. And when I was 13, 14 years old, he called a family meeting and said, we're going to move from a little village in southeastern Minnesota to a city of 40,000, which to me was like a megalopolis. And he said, we're going to start a church there. I thought, that's pretty interesting, because the church that we were in was about 100 years old. And my dad got a burden for church planting. I saw how the Lord used that in St. Cloud. And then when I was a senior in high school, the Lord led my dad to move 60 miles west of there, almost to the South Dakota border, to start a church in Wilmer, Minnesota. And I reluctantly went to St. Cloud as a seventh grader, almost eighth grader. By the time it was time to move to Wilmer, I was all in. And the Lord allowed me to see churches started from the ground up and led me to Bible college and open the door to Germany. That's a longer story.
The Lord, I dedicated my life to full-time Christian service when I was in junior high, and I always say that we're supposed to be going, but willing to stay. So I was always wanting to go, and always when a missionary would come, it didn't matter where they were going, I wanted to go. So when the wall fell in eastern Germany, And he came home from seminary and said that he felt the Lord calling him. I was ready to go immediately.
So that answer is interesting, and it kind of dovetails a little bit with the conversation we had in an elder meeting this week. I think somebody mentioned a statistic that of pastors that go into ministry, people that go into ministry, missionaries, pastors, 60 to 70% of those people come from smaller churches instead of bigger churches. And you may ask yourself, well, why? There's so many more people in the bigger churches. Why would that be so lopsided in the small church environment? Because in the small church, you have lots of opportunities to be engaged, right? You're needed in the small church. You know, you don't have a bunch of people that are in the big church who are paid to do all the work sometimes, or seminary students who are doing it for experience. All the lay people need to do the work of the ministry in the small church. And the Lord uses that to cultivate a heart for ministry. And so 60 to 70% of those that do end up going into ministry do come from smaller churches. And that's interesting that you share that, because that's exactly what happened with you. All right, let's move on to the next question. So we got a little bit of a taste of the difference in ministry now versus when you started in Dresden. Back then, there were more Americans in your church. Now, it seems like almost more exclusively German in your church. So give us a little bit more of a taste of what you see that's different today, that maybe some prayers that the Lord answered along the way, compared to where you started and you had no idea where the Lord was taking you.
There's a lot that I could tell, but not in short time. One person that found our church, she wasn't really looking for a different church, but she was unsatisfied with the Lutheran church that she was in. She came to visit our church, was already born again. Her name is Monica, and we put her name in our prayer letter for years. First, she just came to visit. Then she came regularly. Then she confessed that she plays piano. She played piano in our church now and then.
It's the same way here in the States. It takes a while for them to tell us that.
And we talked with Monica. We challenged her about biblical baptism, which is for the Germans in Saxony, where we live, who are mostly Lutheran, a huge stumbling stone. And this year, Monica was baptized while Jody was actually here in the States in June. And at 80 plus years old, she said, I'm not getting any younger. It's time to obey the Lord. That's just one small stepping stone, and there are so many other similar things. Even though it was COVID time in Germany, and probably more drastic than you've experienced it here, we've had three different families come to the church. Last year, Teresa and Volker came. Teresa was baptized. Volker had already been baptized. They joined the church. This year, Uwe and Esther came. Uwe was an alcoholic, got saved many years ago, and had been bouncing from church to church till he found us and he said, here, we're home. Uwe and Esther were also baptized in June, joined the church. The family Stenke, Lutz, and Christine came early this year to our church with their four children of five, and they are almost all in. They're still working on the same stumbling stone of baptism as former Lutherans, and a highlight in their family has been their son, Amos, 17 years old. He came up to me after one service and said, Joel, I'd like to talk to you if I can after the service. I said, sure. He said, when we met together privately, he said, I'm having problems with pornography. 17 years old, and he shared his burden. Later, he called about 9:45 on a Saturday night. I was looking forward to going to sleep. And he said, "Joel, I'm having problems." We talked for quite a while, prayed together after I asked him if the Lord had calmed his heart. And I guess pointing to one thing that is a huge contrast to American churches and Germans, they're open and frank about not being perfect. And they've developed trust so that they can open their hearts and deal with real spiritual issues, and that's really refreshing to me.
Jody, what about you? What are some things that you've noticed that are different between, not just between there and here, but from the time that you arrived and the time and today?
I guess the things that are the same is God's faithfulness, like mm-hmm. what you were talking about this morning, but just that now getting, like when you're at the beginning, you're doing everything. I was at one point the only piano player for the church, and I prayed that the Lord would bring another piano player in, and now we have like 5 people that can play the piano, and I don't have to at all. And because it's not my gift, it's like it did it with much struggle, but seeing the people now stepping up and taking over ministry, like Our Ladies Bible Study while I've been gone, there's been 2 ladies so far that have taught, and mm-hmm. each one is taking a time, and it's refreshing to see how that we can step back, because our job is to train them so that they can do the work of the ministry.
Such a joy to be able to see either 2 Timothy 2:2 or Titus 2 play out in the life of the church.
Exactly.
And the faithfulness that you guys have invested is now paying dividends as you see that. What have been some of the greatest challenges that you have faced, even recently? All churches around the globe obviously have had to deal with COVID and different restrictions. What have been some of the biggest challenges that you have had to face over the last year or so in your church?
COVID has hands down been one of the biggest challenges that's hit our church in all the years. A threat to split the church on the one hand. On the other hand, an opportunity to test our faith in the Lord and our trust in Him in difficult situations. We met together as a church early in 2020, and after the initial shock of this whole situation, met together and we decided as a church that we're a body. And as long as people are healthy, they ought to be in church, because it's an assembly. And we've met together. There are at least threats of the possibility of fines, maybe locking accounts or whatever. But if we're wrong to meet together when there's a threat of government absconding our funds or whatever, then the Chinese have been wrong for decades for meeting against government regulations. Christ is the head of the church. We decided that we will meet as a church and take whatever consequences that has for us, because we're His children first.
Are those sorts of things still ongoing in Germany? I mean, we've seen those kind of go back and forth here in the States, depending on, you know, where you live and the states you're in and the governance that you're in. Are those sorts of things ongoing? Have they been more consistent there?
In Germany, they've tended toward tightening things up as much as possible. They're still doing that, but this is an election month for the chancellor of Germany, and many of the politicians, they're waiting till after this election in September, and I fully expect that the screws will be much tighter. As a contrast, Denmark has just dropped all of the COVID restrictions, and Germany is still going the other direction toward more draconian measures.
Okay.
Time to trust the Lord.
Yeah. Jody, what have you seen the Lord do in terms of a blessing over the last year, despite all of these restrictions, despite the challenges of ministry and all of that? What have you seen as a blessing that the Lord's provided that you would have never expected?
That it brought unity in the body, and then we were, I challenged the ladies to memorize Psalm 91, where, you know, no pestilence will overcome you, and to just trust in the Lord, and to see them being faithful, and even though you're not sure what's going to happen and things, to see us bond together in spite of all the things that are going on.
That's great. All right, so take us a little bit into the future in terms of what are some projects or some things that you're hoping for, that you're trusting the Lord for, as you look forward to the ministry here in Dresden.
I'm nearing 65. That's not a magic number, but I've told the church a long time, eventually I'll be retiring, and it's time for you folks to step up and take over the ministry here. Leo and Tobias, who you met in the video, are taking over much of the ministry right now. Another single man named Tobias also has done a couple of Bible studies already. And it's encouraging, it's a blessing to see the Germans catching a burden. The biggest challenge of that is now that the rest of the Germans need to catch the burden to support these men full-time so that they can dedicate themselves wholly to ministry. If you would pray for that, and if the Lord would work that soon, we could complete our task in this church in Dresden, stepping back and let the Germans take it over. That's why we were there.
What's your prayer for that time period, Joel? Like between now and, like, if the Lord would give it to you, what would you ask?
Well, I'll say it like this. We're living in uncertain times, and whether or not we can return to Germany depends on what decisions are made in Germany in the next couple of months. Our plans are to return on December 10th. If the screws are too tight, we won't be able to return. We talked to the church before leaving. I left in August. It was a tearful parting because it's uncertain. But the church is in the Lord's hands. So I plan to return. We have our tickets for December 10th, and hopefully we can make a smooth transition by our next annual meeting. I hope to have numbers in place so the church can phase in supporting elders full-time, and we can step back another notch, and hopefully within a short period of time, we can complete that transition, and I can work myself out of a job in Dresden.
That's great. Jody, what about you? What are some things that are burdens on your heart for prayer for the church and for your family as you guys look ahead?
Just the Lord's wisdom for the timing when it's right, and that the church would remain faithful, that they're not following a man, but that they're following Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, what a wonderful opportunity. Thank you both for being here and for providing that to us. Would you stay up here so we can pray for you? Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you. We thank you so much for the Sandals, for their faithfulness, Lord. 23 years that you have allowed them to be in Germany, what was behind the Iron Curtain, ministering to those who so desperately need the good news of the gospel, and your faithfulness has raised up a generation within that church that is on the cusp of being able to move into leadership, that they might have a perpetual opportunity to grow with locals that are there and then to expand as you see fit, and even to plant other churches, as that would be your design and Joel and Jody's desire. Lord, we pray that we would give you the unknowns. Lord, we pray that you would open up the door for Joel and Jody to return later this year. Pray that you would give them the opportunity to continue the investment, Lord, in these people, that they would remain faithful, Lord, those that are there, in order to continue to be in a position to be able to lead this church going forward beyond even the time that Joel and Jody are able to be there. I pray that you would sustain them and their family, Lord, as they are separated from them being here in the States and them being in Germany. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given them along the way with children and grandchildren. We just pray that you would give them strength and sustain them in the wisdom, as Jody said, Lord, to know exactly what you would have for us. Lord, open and shut the doors as you see fit and align our hearts with your plan. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you guys so much.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.